Donna's Revenge. Donna Munt rode across the desert on a modified horse. Cyborg enhancements made its legs faster and stronger. She chewed on a canna plant as she rode, a pleasant buzz numbing away her inner turmoil a little. She also swigged from a solar-powered cooler canteen strapped to her shapely hip. The vision of her husband's murder flashed through her mind like a salvia loop. It was a cloudy day, a day that promised rain but never delivered. She and her husband, Peter, were working in the fields, harvesting the rainbow flowers of a local plant to be sent to a local perfume company for extraction for its intoxicating scent. Perfume that gives a buzz, attracts men, and relieves minor headaches. A hot, humid day, Donna took her shirt off and worked in jeans and a transparent red bra. Peter was horny as hell from the flowers they worked with, and he kept trying to get on her, feeling her breasts, trying to kiss her. "Wait till we finish this harvest, honey," she told him. "Then we need to harvest me," he said, rubbing his hand across his own crotch. "Everything in its due time," she told him with a wink. She felt so good at that moment, the fumes from the petals tickling her receptors.
"Very touching."
A gruff voice came from behind the couple. They whirled to face four gangsters dressed in black ninja outfits with chainmail armor and cowboy hats.
"Yeah, that's pretty fucking sweet," said another gangster,
the one with the ivory and tortoise stone encrusted eye patch.
"Makes me wanna fuck her," observed the gangster with the light blue skin and unicorn tattoo on his face.
The last gangster said nothing. He just pulled out a vibrating knife. Peter yelled,
"You fucks better just back off."
"You gonna stop us, pussy?"
said the first gangster as he pulled out an automatically heating knife. It quickly became red hot. Peter rushed forward and gave the first gangster a hard headbutt. The man dropped his blade and fell to the ground holding his head. The unarmed gangster kicked Jim hard in the leg. The last gangster closed in with his long vibrating blade. The weapon sawed clean through Peter's arm, leaving it hanging on by a few threads. Jim fell to the ground in shock as the group kicked and stabbed him into an early grave. As this happened, Donna was frozen to the spot. She screamed and cried and cursed. The stunned gangster got back up and put her into an arm lock from behind, his crotch digging into her ass like a puppy going for a teat. Donna struggled with the man as the others closed in, smiling.
"Get off me, you assholes!"
she screamed as the others began grabbing her legs and arms and forcing her to the ground. Donna screamed for help, but there was nobody else around for miles. Gangster 2 slapped her hard across the face and punched her in the stomach, knocking the wind out of her. She sagged into their arms. Rough hands ripped off her bra and her breast stood naked before gawking rapists.
"Sweet tits,"
the light blue-skinned gangster with spiky hair told her as he gave them a rough squeeze.
"Firm, baby. Nice succulent nipples. Let's have a taste."
He bit her nipples and flicked a wet tongue over and around them.
"No, no!"
she moaned at the arms holding her down. The gangster with the eye patch began tugging on her form-fitting vegetable hide jeans. She squirmed feebly as they pulled down around her tan, shapely legs.
"Nice panties. Think I'll take them home and sniff them,"
eye patch told her.
"Fuck you,"
Donna said.
No, no, fuck you.
She gasped as her panties slid down her thighs. Deep blue panties of a banana on the crotch of them. Jokes, get a camcorder. This is gonna be a good one. Bright lights flashed in Donna's eyes, a beam of light making her feel nakeder than naked as many hands groped her. She broke free of the hands with an agonized twist and stood halfway up before a boot thumped her in the belly. Donna fell down and many hands were holding her down again, spreading her legs. She had a very pretty pussy, the sweetest feature on a sweet frame. Eye patch stood above her as she was held down. He undid his jeans, pulled on his shorts, and an erect member swung out.
Don't do this, she begged,
as he settled himself down onto her. He reached into his pants pocket and pulled a small vial of a strongly grape-smelling lubricant. Grape Rape was the brand name, sold in porn mags as a rapist's best friend. He rubbed it on his cock and smiled blissfully. The stuff also contained Malefecalia extract, a local plant that gives euphoria to its users. The penis was slippery and damp. It entered her easily. The vaginal walls absorbed the plant's chemicals, and despite herself, a pleasant warmth invaded her, spreading out from the vagina till it hit her head with a dizzy, overwhelming buzz. She vowed to sue the makers of this product. She now felt delirious, a common effect from fighting the drug's mental effect. She felt faint and weakened. Eyepatch worked in and out of her while the camcorder lights took up a vibrant range of trippy colors. Harder and harder he fucked her. She relaxed into a despairing submission, and the hands released her arms and legs and began opening flies. Her memories from there were dim and disturbing, but she did remember the forced blowjobs, sloppily done, and multiple beatings and kickings. At some point, she dreamed she had died and was floating in a warm, tranquil sea somewhere beyond. Donna woke up some time later, semen all over her, in her hair, all over her abused ass and pussy, cum on her tits. And what was that terrible taste in her mouth? She was completely naked, propped ass up over some of her husband's equipment. His body lay nearby, pissed on. She got up spitting and hacking and spitting, rubbing the semen off her skin with dirt as she rushed for the house and showered inside. She rubbed and washed while freaking out. She stayed in the shower for 2 hours. She dressed and brushed her teeth over and over again, all the while thinking about the rifle her husband kept in her bedroom closet. A nice armor-piercing gun that can kill people or shred a car engine. She mounted her cyborg horse, Storges, and headed after the bastards. She wanted to make them suffer and kill them one by one while the others watch. That'd be nice, nice. Her horse could act as a digital bloodhound, and she had it sniff for scents and sample them. It used delicate monitors to track where they had gone from the scene of the crime. Across the wetlands, she rode, low hills going on for miles, full of lush vegetation and small clusters of fruit trees. She picked some green Fjelfton fruits from the ripe tree. The orange-sized fruits were very light lime green in color and incredibly sweet, like the best soda pop you ever drank times 15. She tracked them along a warm, fragrant river, a river of lilies floating on a slow-moving waters. She came to a small village of native blueskins. Her horse told her that they were not anywhere near, but had probably slept here from the scent. Donna bought some more canna and 3 cigarettes of the flowers of the mistletoe plant, a favorite of hers for the emotional dissolves, deeply peaceful trance state they put you in for up to 3 hours, depending on one's tolerance. And she had not smoked one for several weeks. She sparked the first one up as she left the village, back on the bastard's trail. Sadly, at the blue-skin village of Kefu, the rapists seemed to have split into two factions. The scents were pretty fresh, though. Some had gone onto the wide raft that people here took to the other side of the river. Others seemed to be still nearby. She is ready to kill. The horse led Donna to a whorehouse, more a long series of leather tents. She could not bring the horse inside, so parked it in front of the opium den. Donna hid in the shadows with her rifle, waiting for the fucker to leave the tent. She chewed the last of her kana while she waited, but he did come out. She snuck up behind him, the one who had the vibrating blade and stale-tasting penis. She put the gun to his back, and he froze.
Walk down to the shore. I want to talk to you about something,
she said through a voice changer strapped to her neck. Her voice came out to sound like a 6-foot-tall black man, and the fucker gave her no resistance. She marched him to the cliffs and asked who he works for and other bullshit questions. She then kicked him hard in the back. The blue-skinned man fell twisting and screaming to be dashed on the rocks below. Donna watched the waves slowly clean the blood from the rocks and smiled. She made her way back to the tent and waited for the next victim. She waited 2 more hours. And finally, a familiar face emerged from the tent. The one with a unicorn tattooed to his face. Behind him, another male. This one half white. Both laughed and slapped hands. She waited till they were halfway across the street and brought the cyber horse galloping down on them at full speed, gun raised. Unicorn had his blade out, but the horse overwhelmed him with steel-plated headbutt. He fell sprawling to the ground. Donna blasted a half-pate as he reached for something in his shirt. His body flew back and crumpled against the wall. Donna jumped off her horse and brought out her IntelliTangle rope. She lashed it at Unicorn's face, and it tied itself tightly around him. She kicked him hard several times, and then mounted the horse. She dragged him through town and out to the swampy outside. There she tied him to a tree and began applying vein worms to him, one on the chest. He writhed in disgust and horror, one on his foot, each held by a stake. He could only wiggle as the transparent worm's head began digging in. Next, she pulled his pants down, exposed his fat, foul-tasting penis. She put the rest of her 7 vein worms there, and he finally screamed a hopeless, lost wail into the night of 1,000 sounds. The worms slowly wriggled into the holes they made. His skin swelled and turned red to mark their trail. One had penetrated the fucker's nutsack, and his screams were pleasurable for her to hear. As he writhed in pain and knowledge of the damage the vein worms were doing to his insides, he felt a splash, and he was covered in fermented piss, Donazone. It attracted a lot of bugs, till a black, thorny mass of them covered Unicorn's whole body, sickening sounds of hundreds of jaws working. Donna got back up onto her horse and rode away, smiling broadly. Her nipples were hard and pushed out at her shirt. 2 down
and dead. She thought, two more to die. She went into some bars and asked around, handing out money for tips, fighting off gropers. She thought she knew enough to get started, so she ordered a pastry sandwich and some beer, and was off again, riding her horse. Donna walked her horse along the barge and paid a well-armed man to take her across. She sparked up another Mistwith cigarette and shared it with the large barge man. Smoke drifted over the pastel blue waters, curling in the breeze. The land ahead marked the start of the Midlands, a zone between the Earth settlers and the wildlands still populated by Poldaks. Her mind drifted peacefully on that long barge ride, but inner thoughts of violent revenge, castration by rusty blade, nail testes to the wall with a big rubber mallet. Peaceful thoughts of violent, bloody torture and murder. A smile crossed her lips. An ironic world we currently live in. It seems, according to village rumors, that the other two were heading out to raid a new age happening to see what goodies could be taken by force there. Donna vowed they would never make it, and she had the horse to back it up. She had instructions of how to get to this new age shindig, so she headed straight there. Friendly, eccentric faces grinned at Donna as she rode her horse through the fairground. There were tarot readings, massage experts, chakra radiation booths, crystals and stones from three planets. No weapons were visible anywhere. Very odd. Almost everyone here was from Earth, only a few Poldakis. She saw only three of them, all employed by the fair. Donna worried that the nice people around here might make it difficult for her to torture the bastards. She may have to just kill them right away, and then just empty her gun into the corpses till they are a formless red pasta. Donna bought a glossy, semi-see-through veil dress and changed into it, openly getting naked and then dressed into the sexy outfit that leaves very little to the imagination. The New Agers just smiled at her and went about their fare. She parked herself in a tent selling incense and waited. Wisp of Nag Champa smoke drifted about. Eyepatch and his cohort, Monwolf, entered the fair, their eyes glazed with perverse excitement. Hot women all about, and no visible weapons. This was heaven. Monwolf walked into a man in a fuzzy vegetable jacket on purpose. The soft man thudded off of him with a oof. He looked up at Monwolf and said, "Excuse me," and he walked on. The two outlaws laughed at this. An evil grin spread from Eyepatch's face and stayed there. A teenage girl was walking by, a baggie of crystals and incenses in her hand. Monwolf ran his hand up her silk dress and grasped the firm cone-shaped tits in his warm hand. The girl looked kind of shocked and she sidestepped and kept going, reaching into her hand to fondle a crystal. "Your turn," Monwolf told his friend. Eyepatch saw a pretty blind woman who did readings of objects. They waited in line, trying not to giggle, as she felt an ivory and gold inlaid hairbrush a man put on the table. He heard a story about his mother and the spiritual path that she was now on, now that she had left the world behind. Next, a dog collar with bronze spikes on it was fondled.
The blind lady told of the dog's journey to the North Sea to save a dolphin and how it would come back someday next spring. Eyepiece paid his silver piece and quickly undid his pants. He placed his 6 inches of veiny, soft cock on the table. Blind hands reached over and closed on it. The blind lady screamed the most blood-curdling scream either outlaw had ever heard. She just went on shrieking and freaking out. All heads turned to her tent. Murder! Murderers! Murderers! Rapists! The blind lady screamed. Donna got up and she readied her rifle. She closed in with the rest of the crowd to see what was happening. Rapist! They have murdered fellow man! Murderers! The lady was still screaming. Eyepatch threw a hard punch into her chin. Her head spun and her neck snapped with the sound of a dry twig. More screams from around the fair. Donna stepped from the crowd with her gun raised. Mongwolf bent for his blade and she fired at him, missing. A bystander's head pulped behind the outlaw. Now both men were rushing her, screaming a primal wail of rage. Mongwolf took one in the chest and fell. Eyepatch seized the rifle, trying to jerk it, wrested away from her hands. Donna fought desperately to keep it. Eyepatch pulled the gun free, but the New Agers dogpiled him as gently as they could, while Donna recovered the firearm. Donna backed up and watched the big pile squirm. The gentle people were being punched, kicked, and thrown off. Soon Eyepatch stood up and glared at Donna. He sprang at her and was at her throat before she could fire. His hands dug deep into her, cutting off air and blood flow. She could feel herself starting to faint. She used the last of her strength to pull the trigger. The bullet entered the back of his head. The face exploded out into a large exit wound. Donna dropped the gun and gasped. The fairgoers helped her to the healer that laid hands on her, and her strength returned. Donna left the horse with them to compensate for the bystander she had accidentally shot. So Donna walked out of town, smoking a fat cigarette of a mellow tropical herb. The end.